Now, from Hollywood, romance. Romance, transcribed stories of love and adventure, of excitement and derring-do, of conflict and human emotion. This week, a story of Hawaii, as Stacey Harris and Lillian Baieff star in William Frug's unusual romance, The Golden Face.
This is the story of a boy and a girl, of how they met, and of what happened to each of them because of their meeting. It's a simple story without violence or melodrama, yet its meaning is clear. It began in that most exotic of locales, the Hawaiian Islands. More specifically, the city of Honolulu on the island of Oahu.
Boy, take Mr. and Mrs. Snodgrass to room 211. Yes, sir?
Do you have a single room?
I believe we're filled up. How long would you need it?
All the weekend. Tonight, Saturday and Sunday.
I see. Well, let me check.
Thanks.
Have you tried the Halekulani? Or perhaps the Royal Hawaiian?
No, I haven't.
Let me see.
Just
now.
Anything at all, huh?
Mm-hmm. Ah, you are in luck, Lieutenant. Single checked out less than an hour ago. That's 312. That'll be $10 a day.
All right, that'll be fine.
This is our biggest season, you know. Waikiki Manor just phoned, said they were sending the people down to Honolulu. Not much of a vacation staying there, I don't imagine. Well, here you are, if you'll sign right here.
Right.
Now, your address, Lieutenant?
USS Claremont.
Good. Boy, show the Lieutenant to room 312.
Not unlike the old days, this new Hawaii. During the war, there had been hotel lobbies jammed with uniforms. Now the same lobbies, newly redecorated, were crowded with straw-hatted tourists wearing brightly colored leis and even gaudier sport shirts. But it was the same Luana Hotel on Waikiki Beach, and the young lieutenant felt good to be a part of the holiday excitement. In his room, he unpacked his canvas bag and looked out onto the huge banyan tree in the courtyard.
Yes?
Bob?
This is Lieutenant Tyndall.
Bob, it doesn't sound like you. Do you have a cold?
As a matter of fact, I don't. I feel wonderful.
Bob, is this really you?
Who is this?
Is Lieutenant Kendall there?
Oh, my name's Tyndall. T-I-N-D-L-E.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is Bob Kendall there?
No, I'm afraid he isn't.
Well, thank you.
Oh, no, wait. Don't hang up.
I beg your pardon?
Look, I don't know the man you're looking for, but, well, maybe I can help you find him. Is he in the Navy?
Yes.
Shore duty?
No, he's aboard the Fairlane.
Well, that's a destroyer, isn't it?
Yes, the DD-1798.
I think I may have seen it out at Pearl. It could be there now. Look, let me help you. Where are you?
In the lobby.
On the house phones next to the cashier's window?
Yes.
Now don't move. I'll be right down.
He knew why he was impelled to rush out of his room and down to the lobby as though his life depended on it. The lonely, almost pleading voice on the telephone sounded like a beginning for his weekend shore leave. And when he found the house phones and the girl standing beside them, he was sure. She was small and graceful, her light summer dress clinging to her gentle figure. Her raven hair was neatly trimmed about a face tanned almost golden in color. Her brown eyes were wide and slanted slightly at the corners, and her nose, thin at the bridge, curved up into full nostrils. To him, she seemed to glow with the freshness of an island breeze. He didn't know who this exotic creature was or what she was, and he didn't care.
Hello. My name's Alan Tyndall.
Oh,
I hope you like what you're staring at as much as I like what I'm staring at.
I'm sorry, Lieutenant. I should have left. But I thought I owed you an explanation.
Well, not here, huh? In the bar, we can have a cool drink with pineapple in it or anything in it, and then you can explain it there.
Really, I have to leave now. I shouldn't have bothered you this way. The switchboard operator misunderstood me. It isn't what you might think.
I'm not thinking anything right now except that, well, you're very beautiful, and I'd like to kiss that switchboard operator.
Thank you. Well, Lieutenant...
No, wait. please, one drink, no more, and no passes. You let me help you find Kendall if I can. If I can't, you've only wasted 30 minutes of your life, and, lady, you've given me a lovely day.
You really mean that, don't you?
Yes, I do, very much.
All right, Lieutenant.
Alan.
Alan?
I don't know your name.
It's Carol. Carol Hanoka.
They found a table in the bar overlooking the beach and the blue Pacific. Outside their window, 1,000 people sprawled on the sand. And native boys glided into shore, their surfboards cutting smoothly across the long, rolling breakers. They glanced at each other, and their eyes held and then moved quickly away.
Aloha. That can mean hello or goodbye.
Well, I'll drink to that if it means hello.
Why are you staring at me?
What? I'm sorry. Well, you're smiling now, and a while ago you seemed sad. What caused the change, Carol?
Oh, out there, the sun, the sea, those people on the beach. You know, the world's a very happy place if you look at the right things.
Oh, I understand exactly. Especially right now.
You embarrass me.
I don't mean to. It's just that I'd like to know more about you. Unless you think I might be intruding.
Oh, no, no. I don't know why, but suddenly I want to tell you about myself. Everyone wants to be understood, really. But I especially want you to understand. Does that sound foolish?
No. No, it doesn't. You always lived in the islands?
I was born in Hawaii, not 2 miles from this hotel. A real islander. That's pretty rare these days.
Hanoka. Is that a Hawaiian name?
Oh, my father was pure Hawaiian. He was descended from King Kamehameha.
Mm.
Unfortunately, he married an Irish waitress from Boston, which somewhat diluted the royal line.
Your parents still living, Carol?
My father lives on the other side of Oahu. He hates this side. Thinks the Americans have destroyed his country.
Oh, what do you think?
Well, I'm an American. Let me tell you about my mother. There was a girl. Vivacious, red-headed, terrible-tempered, a wonderful character.
She's not living?
I don't know. She ran off with a sailor when I was 7.
Oh.
Well, you're not going to feel sorry for me, are you? Oh, don't do that, Alan. Pity's a terrible thing. Self-pity's even worse. We'll have another drink, and then I must go.
They had another drink, and he listened as the beautiful girl told him about herself and her father. She was 28 years old. She lived in an apartment in Honolulu. She had a responsible job as a buyer in a department store, and she made good money. A successful young woman by any standards. And he found himself becoming involved in what she said and what she thought.
And I got the job because I knew what sort of native goods the tourists liked. Of course, most of it's made in San Francisco. Don't most of us live by a label?
Oh, I don't know. That depends on the individual, I think.
Not when you carry the label in your face, in the color of your skin.
Hey, you told me self-pity was a terrible thing.
I'm sorry, Alan, you're right.
Carol, I don't think you have anything to be ashamed of, not ever.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
Alan, you didn't come downstairs to the lobby to help me find another man, did you?
No, I suppose not.
Why did you come?
Oh, I don't know. A voice, lonely, interesting. Maybe I thought you might have been someone to, well, spend a sailor's weekend with.
Do you still think so?
No. Not that way. How about you? You sorry I lied to you?
No. No, it's been a wonderful afternoon. A happy time. I mean that, Ellen. I want you to always know it.
You sound like you're saying goodbye for keeps.
I am.
Oh, no. Now, that's absurd. We're just getting to know each other.
And we like each other, don't we? Please, Alan. Let's leave it that way. Please.
Carol, does this have something to do with Bob Kendall?
You see, if we don't let it stand for what it is, a happy afternoon can be ruined.
All right. All right. We'll forget Kendall or whatever his name is. He doesn't matter to me if he doesn't matter to you. Past is past and future is future. Oh, please, Carol, I'm trying.
The trouble with you is you're so convincing.
They stretched a happy afternoon into a happy dinner and a happy evening. Nothing serious.
A kind of unspoken pact between them. They danced, they laughed, they talked about the Navy, Hawaii, hopes, defeats. The kind of things two people who like each other talk about. Then they made plans for Saturday. At her insistence, about midnight, he saw her to a cab in front of the hotel and sent her back to Honolulu. It was almost 10 o'clock the next morning when he was awakened by the telephone beside his bed. It was the operator phoning to say she was sending up two messages, and they arrived a few minutes later. They were both for Lieutenant Bob Kendall. Then there was a knock at the door.
Yeah?
Hi, my name's Kendall. I understand they sent a couple of messages up here by mistake.
Oh, yeah, they did. Come on in, won't you?
Gee, I hate to bother you this way.
It's okay. I'm Alan Tyndall.
Oh, well, they sound alike.
Yeah.
I checked out yesterday afternoon. I guess they could have gotten balled up.
That happens all the time. I was about to order a breakfast, will you? Care to join me?
Sorry, I got a heavy date waiting down the lobby.
Oh?
Uh-huh. Flight nurse. Met her last night. Did you go to the dance at the officer's club?
No, I didn't.
Great Liberty Town.
Yeah, I know. Oh, your messages, I almost forgot. Here you are. I'm sorry I read them before I realized they weren't for me.
Oh, probably aren't important anyway.
One's from a girl named Carol Hanoka. Says she'll be here at 3 o'clock. Of course, that's from yesterday.
Oh, that name? Man.
Oh, really?
And how? Plenty of action. And strictly available. If you want her phone number...
No, thanks. I just wanted...
Beautiful doll. Only if you call her...
Yeah?
She'll take you on a merry-go-round you won't forget. Well, thanks a lot. See you around.
Yeah. Yeah, see you around.
We'll return to romance in just a moment. Later today on CBS Radio's Kathy Godfrey Show, that man about instruments and popular recording personality, Bobby Sherwood, is among Kathy's guests. Vocalist Betty Madigan and Columbia record artist Peter Henley are also on hand for today's fun. Today and every Saturday on most of these stations, the Kathy Godfrey Show is your open sesame to weekend pleasure. Don't miss it. And keep in touch with all our weekend news and entertainment at the Star's address. And now for the second act of Romance.
What would it have been like if he had never met Bob Kendall? All Saturday morning, the young lieutenant wondered that. But he had met him. And he could no longer think of Carol Hanoka the same way. Still beautiful, yes, still desirable, still many, many things. But no longer the same. Their date was for 3 o'clock, for swimming.
Hello?
Alan, this is Carol.
Oh, hi, Carol.
I'm here in the lobby. I brought my suit. Shall I change up there?
Yeah, sure, that'll be fine.
Alan, are you all right?
Yeah, sure. Come on up. I've been waiting for you.
For a moment, he'd been tempted to hang up the phone, but then he reconsidered. There were only 2 days and one evening left of his shore leave. If this beautiful, exotic creature was out for fun, then maybe he'd been right the first time. Maybe this was a way to spend his weekend.
Hi.
Hi.
What a beautiful day.
Perfect day for a swim. Come on in.
For a minute there on the telephone, you had me worried.
Oh, how's that?
Well, you sounded so solemn. Not like you at all.
Periodic depression. Nothing my neighborhood psychiatrist can't manage.
Oh, silly.
Yeah, I am kind of silly, aren't I?
Yes, and I like you that way.
Okay, it's a deal. You dress in here and I'll take the bathroom, huh?
All right. I hope you like my suit. I just bought it today.
Really? You know, bathing suits were made for girls like you.
Well, thank you, sir.
Hey, funny thing, the hotel still thinks I'm Bob Kendall. They sent up a couple of his messages here this morning. He must be a busy guy, phone calls, some beautiful girls, messages. You go with him very long?
Not very long. Gee, this is hard to get into. I don't know why they make them so small.
I'll be glad to come out and help.
No, thank you.
Well, you just say when, huh?
Well, just a minute. There. You can come out now. Do you like it?
I like the way you look in it.
Alan.
Hmm?
Before we go down to the beach, could we talk a minute?
Sure.
You mentioned Bob Kendall. Alan, I don't want anything to ruin us, our friendship.
Not on your life, honey. That guy's the furthest thing from my mind.
Well, still, you did mention him. Maybe it'd be better if we did talk about it, get it out in the open, and then we'd never have to think of him again.
Carol, you remember what I said yesterday? The past is past. Now, if you make me start recounting my old girlfriends, we might never get down to the beach.
Do you really mean that?
Of course I mean it. We're grown people. We've had good times and bad. Now, today is a day for sun and swimming and not worrying about anything. In short, this day is ours.
And it was. They swam, they played tennis. He even tried to ride a surfboard and nearly broke his neck. It was a happy time. For moments, he would forget Bob Kendall and remember the girl he'd known yesterday. Then the thoughts would come back, and he would correct his perspective. That evening, they went dancing.
You know, I've waited 30 hours to hold you in my arms. It's worth every minute of it.
Are you that fond of dancing?
Are we dancing? I didn't realize. Are you having fun?
Oh, yes. And yet, we hardly know each other. We just met yesterday.
Well, that doesn't really matter, does it, Carol? Does it?
Let's sit down.
Just when I'm beginning to like Hawaiian music?
Now I know you need to sit down. Come on.
All right. Excuse me, please.
Excuse me.
Pardon. Here, through here.
Mm-hmm.
Is it always this crowded?
At Waikiki? Oh, yes.
Haven't you got a nice little remote island somewhere where a fella can dance with his girl without dodging waiters? What kind of a South Sea Island paradise is this?
Thank you. Well, have you ever been to Hilo?
No.
Oh, it's a sleepy little town. Lots of flowers. Even the live volcano. It's on Hawaii.
Nope. Tourists there, too.
Well, then I have just what you're looking for. Now, Willy Willy. No, don't laugh. It's really a town. On Kauai. It has a lovely little bay, cane fields, rains almost every day, and no tourists.
That part I like.
At least, almost. Or how about Kaualui? Oh, it's a nice town. It's on the ocean, too. Island steamer makes it every week.
Uh-huh. Maybe we could fly down there.
What?
Well, you know, spend a weekend.
Alan, are you serious?
Of course I'm serious. That sounds ideal.
Somehow that doesn't sound right, not from you.
Why? Is there something different about me?
I don't know. Yesterday you seemed different. Maybe I'm just imagining it, Alan. Yesterday I believed you. Today, I'm not sure.
Well, I'm the same guy, Carol.
But not the same toward me. Alan, yesterday afternoon I wanted to say goodbye. I said we shouldn't spoil a happy time. I meant it then. I mean it now.
I'm not trying to spoil anything, Carol. Look, I got an idea. Let's get out of this noise and smoke. There's a full moon out there, so let's go for a swim, huh?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, come on, it'll do us both good. Fresh air, chance to be by ourselves. Come on, please.
All right, Alan.
The moonlight flooded the beach. The surf was calm, glistening with phosphorus. It was quiet now, deserted. Only the two of them in the gently rolling sea.
Oh, Alan, isn't it wonderful?
It's cold.
Fine naval officer you are, frightened of a little cold water.
Come on. Come on, let's get out a while.
Oh, this is wonderful. I could stay here forever.
Could you?
Uh-huh.
With me?
Alan.
Come here. I've wanted to do that for a long time.
Oh, Alan. Alan, please, no. Alan.
What? You cheap little trap.
Alan, don't.
Roddy, you got to slap my face. Just who do you think you are? What's the matter? Are my kisses as good as Bob Kendall's, or was there someone before him who was even better? Or someone before that?
Alan, stop.
How many have there been, Carol, or have you lost count?
Probably a great many less than there has been for you. Did you tell me there were so many we wouldn't have time to swim if you told me about them? Then what gives you the right to pass judgment on me? Is there one standard for naval officers and another for women? Is that what you believe?
I believe you set me up for a sucker, and I fell for it. Look, I went for you in a big way, and you made a fool out of me.
Why? Because I wouldn't let you touch me? Is that how I made a fool out of you? Did I hurt your manly pride that much? Listen to me, Alan. I want to tell you something. Yesterday I thought you were something very, very special. You were lonely just as I was lonely. And you were honest. And we talked about real things, things important to both of us. And there was something I'd never felt before. Love. Do you understand the meaning of that word? Love. It's something people want and need, something people search a lifetime for. I liked you right from the start. And the same things were happening to you, I know, but then you changed. Suddenly it wasn't real. It was cheap and dishonest. You made it cheap, Alan. Why?
I don't know.
Because there'd been others for me as there had been for you. Couldn't you accept me as I am today, not as I was yesterday? Can't people change when they want to change? Alan, weren't you the one who said the past is past, or was that a lie, too?
I don't know, Carol. I don't know what I said.
Perhaps I remember because I believed you. Well, you've shown me something, Alan. You've shown me that I can't escape from myself. Maybe that's what I've been trying to do. Suddenly, you've made me stand still and face myself, almost for the first time. And you know something? I'm not ashamed anymore. I don't have to run.
And then the girl who was half Hawaiian, half Boston Irish, and who was therefore neither one, turned slowly and walked back toward the hotel. She held her head high now. She had indeed changed. Her search for an identity was over. In rejecting the boy, she had rejected a part of herself. And she was proud. What of the young lieutenant? He sat quietly on the beach, looking out to sea. His pride had been hurt. But something more important. Her words had reached him. And for himself and all men, he felt ashamed.
Romance is produced and directed by William Frug. The Golden Face was written by Mr. Frug and starred Stacey Harris and Lillian Baev. Others in the cast were Parley Bear and Byron Kane. This is Dan Cubberly inviting you to hear Romance, transcribed next week at this same time. Guess where Eve Arden, as our Miss Brooks, finds herself on tomorrow night's show. Lover's Lane, that's where. And with Bashful Boynton, the biology teacher, the apple of her eager eye. Can Eve make time in Lover's Lane? Or will this latest effort to help Cupid help her fail like all the others? We know, but won't say. Listen in for CBS Radio's Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, on most of these stations tomorrow night. Stay tuned now for Gunsmoke, which follows immediately over most of these same stations.